Okay, let's dive in. Are you, right now, making critical business decisions purely on, well, gut feel?
Or maybe the opposite.
Or perhaps even worse, are you just drowning in this ocean of data that frankly tells you absolutely nothing useful?
It's such a common dilemma for startups, isn't it? You feel like you need data, but often it just creates more confusion, maybe more questions than answers.
It's like having a map, but absolutely no compass.
Exactly.
And that's the noise we're really aiming to cut through today, our mission with this deep dive, to give you a really practical roadmap for measuring what truly matters in your startup.
Especially as you navigate the, let's face it, often chaotic complexities of scaling up.
Absolutely. We've gone deep into Chapter 4 of Emmanuel Bukhari's book, Startup Process Improvement, Volume 1, Turning Chaos into Cash. It's pretty transformative stuff. We're going to bring you the clearest insights from there.
Yeah, Bukhari's work really underscores a truth that, the legendary Peter Drucker nailed decades ago. What gets measured gets managed.
Such a classic.
And in the dynamic world of a scaling startup, this isn't just some catchy phrase. It's the absolute cornerstone of any real process improvement.
It really is. And it's so easy to fall into either extreme, right?
Totally.
Either you're making these big decisions entirely on intuition, just crossing your fingers,
Hoping for the best.
or you're completely swamped by dashboards full of charts that don't offer any actionable insights at all.
Right, data overload.
So our focus today is to equip you with a framework, something that helps you avoid both those traps, guiding you towards meaningful process metrics, metrics that genuinely drive improvement without overwhelming your, lean team.
Which brings us straight to the first crucial element, cultivating what Bukhari calls the measurement mindset.
The measurement mindset.
This is basically your North Star for how you even approach data in the first place.
Okay, let's unpack that.
Yeah.
What's the foundational principle here?
Well, at its core, it's all about purpose-driven measurement. Every single metric you choose to track, it must connect directly back to a strategic outcome, something absolutely core to your business.
So, no numbers just for numbers' sake.
Absolutely not. That's the trap.
Understood. But here's where it gets really interesting, and something I know a lot of founders struggle with: identifying those vanity metrics.
Ah, yes, vanity metrics.
You know, the numbers that look super impressive on a slide but don't actually drive any actionable value. What's the real insight here beyond just spotting them?
That's a critical question. What Bukhari really highlights isn't just identifying them, it's having the discipline to, well, ignore them.
Ignore them.
Even when, and this is the really tough part, a board member or maybe an investor asks for them directly.
Ooh, that takes some courage. I mean, for a lean startup founder, maybe desperate for funding, how do you actually have that conversation? You know, without jeopardizing the relationship or the investment, it feels kind of counterintuitive.
It does, yeah. But chasing impressive yet ultimately meaningless numbers is just a massive time sink for a startup.
Right. Time you don't have.
Exactly. So the polite no, it really involves redirecting the conversation. You pivot. You explain why focusing on different, more impactful metrics actually serves the investor's ultimate goal growth profitability much better.
So it's about education, not just refusal.
Precisely. It's about educating them on your strategic focus, why these numbers matter more right now.
Okay, purpose-driven measurement. Got it. What's next for this essential mindset?
Second big thing, you need a balanced perspective. No single number ever tells the whole story.
There we are.
You absolutely have to look across different dimensions to avoid developing, serious blind spots.
Okay, different dimensions. What kind of dimensions should we be thinking about balancing? Can you give some practical examples?
Sure. So consider balancing leading versus lagging indicators.
Okay.
Leading indicators are predictive measures. They hint at what might happen. Lagging indicators, they're results-based measures. They tell you what did happen.
So future versus past. Prediction versus results.
You need both. You need to anticipate and you need to react based on facts.
Makes sense. What else?
You also need to balance process metrics like how the work is actually done with outcome metrics, which is what that work ultimately produces.
How versus what? Okay.
Right? And then there's the classic efficiency versus effectiveness. Are you doing things right or are you doing the right things?
Right. So it's not just how fast you did something, but whether it was even worth doing in the first place. Is it adding value?
Exactly. And crucially, you need to balance quantitative data, the hard numbers, with qualitative insights. That's the why behind the numbers.
The story behind the data.
Yeah, think customer interviews, team feedback. That's where you get the context, the story.
I love that phrase, the story behind the data.
Yeah.
And you mentioned internal versus external.
Yes. balancing internal perspectives, you know, how your team sees things, with the external perspective, what's your customer's actual experience, they can sometimes be very different.
That's a lot to juggle, isn't it? It feels like it's so easy to get tunnel vision on just one type of data, especially the stuff that's easy to track.
You're absolutely right. It is easy. But here's something a bit counterintuitive that Beccari points out.
Okay.
Trying to achieve perfect balance right from the very start, it'll just paralyze you.
Oh, okay. That feels like a bit of a lifeline for any startup founder listening.
It is. The real insight is you have to consciously choose where you're going to be strategically unbalanced in the early days.
Strategically unbalanced. I like that.
Know your priority. Focus your limited attention there. And then, critically, plan to rebalance as you grow and have more resources. It's about focused execution over trying to achieve comprehensive perfection right at the beginning.
That makes perfect sense. Focus first, balance later.
Hmm.
Which leads seamlessly into the third tenet you mentioned, appropriate precision for startups.
Yeah, this one's key. You know, it's almost always far more valuable to have good enough data gathered quickly.
Good enough, quick. I like the sound of that too. Less pressure.
Exactly. Much better than waiting ages for perfect data that takes so long to collect. It's already completely outdated by the time you finally get it.
Right. The market's already moved on.
Totally. So this prioritizes speed, reasonable speed over absolute perfection in measurement, which is just vital in a fast-moving startup environment.
Okay, so the mindset is be purposeful, aim for balance over time, but be strategically unbalanced when needed, and prioritize good enough speed over perfection. That really brings clarity to those principles.
It's a solid foundation.
But, you know, with all these potential metrics floating around, even being purposeful, how do you actually organize them so you don't get totally overwhelmed? Beccari's work outlines this brilliant metrics hierarchy. What does that structure look like?
It's genuinely brilliant and so practical. It's a three-tiered structure, and each level serves a different purpose for different stakeholders.
Okay.
This ensures everyone gets the right level of detail they need without, you know, getting lost in the weeds.
Okay, three tiers. Let's start at the very top, tier one.
At the apex, you have your North Star metrics. These are the vital few. Typically just 1 to 3, maybe 4 at most, top-level metrics.
Just 1 to 3. Wow.
They truly define your overall success and align everyone in the company.
1 to 3. That sounds incredibly difficult to narrow down, especially for, you know, bustling startup with lots going on.
It is a challenge, yeah. Definitely. But that's the whole point. They force focus. They need a direct connection to your core business model and your strategy.
Okay.
They should be meaningful to all your key stakeholders, your team, your customers, your investors. And importantly, Beccari stresses, they must be difficult to game or manipulate.
Ah, that's such a crucial point. Because people will try to optimize for the numbers, right? Even if it means bending the spirit of the goal.
Oh, absolutely. It's human nature. These metrics also need to be stable enough so you can track them over time and simple enough for absolutely everyone in the company to understand. This is your guiding light, your ultimate destination.
Okay, so these are the big overarching goals everyone's pulling towards, the true north for the whole company. That makes sense. What's the next level down then, tier two?
The next level down is your key performance indicators, or KPIs. Think of these as your mid-level metrics.
Okay.
They track the performance of major business functions and your critical processes.
So if the North Star is the destination, KPIs are kind of like the health of the engine and maybe how fast you're moving towards it.
That's a great way to put it. Exactly. KPIs should have clear ownership, specific teams or individuals responsible for them.
Right. Accountability.
Yes. They need to directly influence your North Star metric, and they must be actionable through specific interventions. You need to be able to do something about them.
Makes sense.
They should also be measurable with reasonable effort. You can't spend all your time just measuring and comparable across time periods. Beccari suggests most startups should probably have about, say, 5 to 10 key KPIs.
Okay, 5 to 10. More than the North Star, but still focused. So the team leads are probably focusing closely on these KPIs day to day, week to week, using them to guide their work.
Absolutely. That's their operational focus. Mm-hmm. And then at the most granular level, the third tier, you have diagnostic metrics.
Diagnostic metrics. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds like when you go to the doctor and because something looks off, they start running a bunch of really detailed tests.
That's a perfect analogy. These are the detailed metrics you pull out specifically to troubleshoot when your KPIs signal there might be a problem.
Uh-huh.
They're focused on really specific process components, often more technical, maybe more specialized.
Getting right down into the nitty-gritty. into the weeds, as you said before.
Exactly. And they're typically only reviewed when an issue actually pops up. It's the process owners, the specialists, who are the primary users of these. You don't normally clutter the main company dashboard with them.
Right.
They're for the deep dives when something's clearly wrong and you need to figure out why.
I love that breakdown. North Star, KPIs, diagnostics.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it so clear who needs to look at what data and crucially when. It feels like it could save so much time in, you know, endless debates or just confusion in meetings.
That clarity and alignment it provides is incredibly valuable. I mean, think about the example Bakari uses. Cloud Secure, a B2B SaaS startup. Their North Star was annual recurring revenue, ARR.
Makes sense for SaaS. Pretty standard North Star.
Right. Then they had KPIs like customer acquisition cost, CSE, and monthly churn rate. Again, pretty standard, but utterly crucial for any subscription business.
Absolutely vital.
Exactly. And then for their diagnostic metrics, when maybe churn spiked, they use things like funnel conversion rates broken down by each specific stage, or they categorize churn reasons in detail.
Got it. So they could pinpoint a leak.
Precisely. What's truly powerful about this framework is how it creates these clear levels for discussion. So a board meeting isn't getting bogged down in tiny operational details about, say, website button colors.
Right. The board focuses on the North Star, maybe the top-level KPIs, the strategic picture.
Exactly. But then a specific team meeting, maybe the marketing team, has the precise diagnostic data they need to figure out why lead conversion dropped last month. And then they can actually act on it.
So it keeps everyone aligned, but also incredibly efficient with their time and focus.
Yeah. This structure in itself is a really powerful antidote to that dreaded analysis paralysis.
Okay, great structure. So now that we understand the mindset and the hierarchy, let's get into some specific process metrics, the ones that are pretty vital for almost any startup, regardless of what industry they're in. What are the fundamentals we should probably be measuring?
Okay, fundamentals. Let's start with cycle time. This is simply the total elapsed time from when a process officially begins to when it's fully completed, start to finish.
Okay, cycle time. Why is that one so critical for a startup specifically? Can you give me an example of its impact, like a real-world feel for it?
Sure. Imagine your customer onboarding process. If your average cycle time is, say, 7 days, your new customer is literally waiting a full week just to start getting value from your product.
Ouch. That's not a great first impression, is it?
Not a great way to start the relationship at all. Now, imagine if you can cut that down to, say, 2 days. That doesn't just look good on some internal chart. It fundamentally transforms that customer's initial experience.
Yeah, completely different feel.
It will almost certainly reduce their churn risk, and it accelerates their time to value.
Which probably means they might upgrade faster or become advocates sooner. All good things.
Precisely. Cycle time reveals your overall process efficiency. It shows how process directly impacts the customer experience, and it really helps you pinpoint bottlenecks slowing things down.
And how do you track it? Is it complex?
Usually not. Simple timestamps often do the trick, start point, end point. And maybe for more complex processes, you might track a few key intermediate steps too.
Okay, simple timestamps. Good. What else is on this essential list?
Then there's process adherence. This is basically the percentage of times your defined process is actually followed correctly by the team.
Ah, okay. How often are people actually doing what they're supposed to be doing consistently, following the playbook?
That's exactly it. It gives you really valuable insights into how well your team has adopted and understood the process, and also how effective your training might have been.
Or hasn't been,
exactly. Crucially, it can also highlight potential flaws in the process design itself. I mean, if nobody's following it, maybe, just maybe, the process is the problem, not the people.
That's a really fair point. I've definitely seen situations where what's designed on paper is just miles away from what's practical or actually happening on the ground.
It absolutely happens all the time. This metric also highlights opportunities for standardization if you find, you know, everyone's doing things slightly differently, maybe causing errors or inconsistencies.
Okay, adherence. Next up, sounds like a really important one. First time write rate.
Yes. FTR. This is the percentage of outputs whatever your process produces. Could be a report, a qualified lead, a shipped product that meet your quality standards without requiring any rework or correction.
Avoiding mistakes and fixes. Doing it right the first time. That one feels like it has a huge, even if sometimes indirect, financial impact. Rework is always costly.
It absolutely is. Wasted time, wasted resources, potential customer frustration. It's huge.
Okay. What else?
Another key metric is resource utilization. This essentially measures how effectively your resources, primarily your people, but also technology, are being used.
Right. So going back to your example, if your top engineers are spending half their day bogged down in like level one support tickets instead of building new features, that's a big red flag on utilization.
Exactly. That's low utilization on their primary high-value role.
Right.
And that's incredibly costly for the business. It tells you where your valuable resources are really spending their time.
Okay. And the last fundamental.
And, of course, you can never forget customer satisfaction. CSAT, NPS, however you measure it, this links directly to customer trust and loyalty. It reveals how happy your customers are with the outcome of your processes, not just the product itself.
Right. The whole experience. Cycle time, adherence, first time right, utilization, customer satisfaction. That feels like a really solid, actionable starting list for almost any startup.
It truly covers some critical dimensions of performance.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
Yeah.
It means you don't have to just guess if your new customer onboarding process is actually working well.
Or if your support team is truly being efficient.
You can actually put a number on it. You can measure it.
And this leads us beautifully to the ultimate purpose of all this measurement, to drive improvement. It's not just about knowing the numbers.
It's about doing something with them.
Exactly. And this is done through a continuous loop, famously known as the build, measure, learn loop, but adapted here by Bakari specifically for improving processes.
Ah, the famous lean startup loop, but applied to how you actually get work done internally. Okay, break that down for us. Tell us about the build phase in this context.
Okay, so the build phase here focuses on developing what Bakari calls a minimum viable process, or an MVP for your process.
An MVP process. Okay.
The key is to keep it small, contained. You want to implement it rapidly, think days, maybe a week, not weeks or months. And crucially, before you even start the experiment, you define clear, measurable success criteria. How will you know if this new process or tweak actually worked?
Got it. Know what success looks like before you start. You absolutely have to define that up front.
You do. And this connects directly to that idea of the minimum viable process. It's the simplest possible version of a process, or maybe a process change, that still delivers the core intended value and critically allows you to learn quickly.
Keep it simple to learn fast.
Right. Bakari even offers this great little heuristic, the rule of three, for process MVPs. Limit it to no more than three roles involved, maybe three key decision points, perhaps three pages of documentation maximum.
Right.
And track just three key metrics initially to see if it's working.
That rule of three really makes it sound achievable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Manageable, which is absolutely key for a busy startup team that feels like it has zero time for process improvement projects.
Exactly. It feels less daunting, more like something you can actually try next week.
Right.
So once you've built your MVP process, the next stage, naturally, is measure. This is where you gather meaningful data from your experiment.
Okay, run the experiment, run the MVP process, now measure. What kind of data are we talking about here? Is it just the outcome?
You need to collect the data that's actually going to enable learning and decision-making based on your initial hypothesis about the process change. This usually includes both your leading indicators, maybe the adoption rate of a new step or people actually doing it, and your lagging indicators, like the final cycle time or the first time right rate.
Okay, so leading and lagging again. Both kinds.
Both kinds. And crucially, don't forget the qualitative feedback, too.
Ah, the story again.
Absolutely. Ask the team involved, how did that feel? Was it easier? Was it harder? What was confusing? And also try to consciously note any unexpected side effects, good or bad. The key is, don't just collect any data. Collect meaningful data. Data directly related to your hypothesis and your success criteria.
Got it. Okay. So build, measure. Next up is learn right.
Exactly. Next is learn. This is where you extract actionable insight. It means actually sitting down regularly and reviewing the metrics and the feedback you gathered.
So not just letting the data sit there on a server somewhere, gathering digital dust.
Never. That's useless. You need to conduct some root cause analysis if things didn't go as expected. Really try to understand why things are happening, not just what happened.
Get to the why.
Yes. Look for patterns in the data and document your learning simply maybe just a few bullet points so they can be easily shared and referenced later by anyone on the team. This stage is all about making sense of the results, you know, extracting the signal from the noise.
Right, making sense of it all.
Bakari gives an example, the marketing tech startup growth engine. They applied this to their lead qualification process. Their data showed sales acceptance improved good, but overall conversion actually decreased bad.
Interesting conflict.
Yeah. So investigation, the learn part, revealed misaligned qualification criteria between marketing and sales. That insight led directly to a fix.
Okay, build, measure, learn. That makes sense. What's the final crucial step in the loop?
Finally, you iterate. You evolve the process based on what you learned. You take those insights and you make small, frequent improvements.
Okay.
You amplify what worked well, maybe rolling out that successful small change more broadly, and you eliminate or adjust what didn't work.
So always tweaking, always optimizing based on real data.
Constantly improving. And crucially, you share these learnings across different teams if it's relevant. Ensure everyone benefits. Avoid repeating the same mistakes or discoveries elsewhere in the company.
Right. Spread the knowledge.
The real aha moment here isn't just doing the loop once. It's truly internalizing that process improvement is never finished. It's not a project with an end date.
Always iterating. It's like a continuous state of maybe healthy dissatisfaction. That sounds potentially exhausting for a founder, but you make it sound almost liberating in a way.
I think it is liberating because you realize you don't need a perfect grand solution right away. You just need a learnable one, something you can build upon step by step. It takes immense pressure off getting it right the very first time.
Yeah. Okay. Learnable, not perfect. I like that.
Yeah.
So closing the loop is key. To truly make this continuous, what does Bakari say about establishing improvement cycles?
Yeah.
How do you make it routine?
It means implementing regular cadences, regular rhythms for reviewing the metrics and implementing these iterative improvements. It needs to become part of the operational heartbeat.
Okay, like different rhythms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For very operational adjustments, you might do this daily, maybe a quick 10-minute team stand-up, to see if yesterday's small tweak to the support workflow is working based on a simple metric.
Daily checks, okay.
For more tactical improvements, perhaps weekly is the right cadence. Maybe in a team meeting where you review the main KPIs for that team's core processes. Monthly could be for broader process refinements, looking at slightly bigger trends. And then quarterly might be reserved for more significant structural changes to your processes, maybe rethinking an entire workflow based on months of accumulated data and learning.
So different rhythms for different levels of change and review.
Precisely. Matching the cadence to the scope.
That makes so much sense. And when those metrics inevitably flag an issue, because they will, right? Processes drift, things break. What's the process for structured problem solving to avoid just, you know, flailing around, putting out fires?
Yeah. You need a systematic approach when a metric goes red. First, you clearly define the problem based specifically on the data patterns. What exactly is going wrong according to the numbers? Be specific.
Define the problem with data.
Then you analyze the root causes. Use tools if they help. The five whys is a simple, great one, or maybe a fishbone diagram for more complex issues. Whatever works for your team to get to the real underlying reason, not just the surface symptom.
Find the true root cause. Don't just treat symptoms.
Exactly. Next, you generate potential solutions that actually address those identified root causes. Select the most promising solution, the one you think will have the biggest impact with reasonable effort. Implement it. And this is critical, often missed.
What's that?
You measure the results again using the same metrics that identified the problem in the first place. Did the solution actually fix the problem according to the data?
Measure again. Close the loop on the fix itself to confirm it actually worked and wasn't just a temporary band-aid or wishful thinking.
Exactly right. It's that rigorous feedback loop on the solution itself that ensures you're making real sustainable progress, not just churning activity.
That structured approach seems absolutely vital for making this stick. So thinking about this whole deep dive on measurement today, what else really stands out to you as a key takeaway or maybe a warning?
For me, it really boils down to the fundamental truth. You simply cannot manage what you don't measure. It's impossible to improve systematically without it. And building on that, let's quickly touch on some of those common measurement pitfalls again. The traps that we've seen in countless startups, the ones Bakari really hammers home.
Okay, yeah, let's reinforce those. What are the big ones to watch out for? The traps we need to proactively avoid.
First, we mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. Vanity metrics. Measuring just for measurement's sake or to look good. It feels productive, but doesn't drive action.
Looks good, does nothing. Got it.
Second, analysis paralysis. Analyzing endlessly, slicing data 100 ways, but never actually taking action or making a decision. You just get stuck in the data quicksand.
I've definitely seen that happen so many times. Like having this enormous library of data, but no idea which book to actually read or act upon.
It's a real trap, and maybe the most fundamental trap of all, having your metrics completely disconnected from your actual business strategy, tracking things that, even if they improve, don't move the needle on what truly matters for the business's success.
Right, measuring the wrong things altogether.
Remember, as Bakari powerfully states, data without action is really just noise. It's ultimately useless.
Data without action is just noise.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful, simple way to put it. Wow. We've really taken a deep dive today into measuring what matters, hopefully laying some solid groundwork for you to implement this effectively in your startup.
Yeah, from cultivating that right measurement mindset.
To understanding the power of that North Star KPI diagnostic hierarchy.
And really embracing that iterative build, measure, learn loop for processes.
You should now have a much clearer roadmap, hopefully, to start turning some of that operational chaos into clarity, using data as your guide.
And just remember this data. It isn't just for your investors or for putting on fancy dashboards, although, you know, it can certainly be used for that.
Sure.
It's truly your most powerful internal tool for understanding your own operations, for spotting issues before they blow up into crises, and for making informed decisions day in, day out that drive real, measurable improvements.
It really puts you firmly in the driver's seat of your business, doesn't it? Rather than just constantly reacting to whatever fire pops up next.
Couldn't agree more. Puts you in control.
Okay, so here's your actionable takeaway from this deep dive today. We want you to actually do something with this. Identify one critical process in your startup.
Just one to start?
Maybe it's customer onboarding.
Hmm.
Maybe it's sales lead qualification. Maybe it's even how you handle internal IT requests. Whatever feels most critical or maybe most broken right now.
And here's the key part of the challenge. Choose just one key metric for that process. Keep it simple. Just one to start tracking.
Start tracking that single metric consistently, starting this week if you possibly can. Just observe. See what insights emerge. You might be genuinely surprised by what that single data point starts to reveal about how things really work in your operations.
And that leads to maybe a final provocative thought for you to consider as you go about your week in a world that feels like it's just inundated with data constantly. Are we truly learning from it? Or are we more often than not just collecting it?
Hmm. Collecting versus learning.
Yeah. Consider how measuring just one important thing consistently and with purpose could actually be the catalyst you need, the starting point for transforming your entire operation.